UFC 301 breakdown, the Killshot podcast. Ooh, vai madre. Ooh, vai madre. If you don't click the like button, ooh, vai madre. I mean, come on, that was clever. Guys, you got to give me the like just for that. That is Monk. Geek is not feeling well under the weather, which I was earlier this week, so bounce back. Wish Geek well. So me and Monk are going to take you through UFC 301 for DraftKings purposes. You can use some of these some of this dissection for betting as well. Hit the like button. We have a pay-per-view. Last week, I'm going to be honest, I did awful last week. Like, it was a bad week. And then, I'm not one of those guys. Like, I see other people around the industry. I'm not going to pretend like they don't exist. There's plenty of other good content creators out there. You should come check us out at DFS Army. But when I saw Mad Lab post that he had a bad week today, I was like, no. All right, it happens to everybody. So, looking to bounce back here. I mean, UFC 300, we fucking crushed. So, I'll give. I didn't play nearly as much last week on that on that card. So, I'm happy to be back here. We got another pay per view. A lot to talk about. Monk, I guess first of all, how are you feeling? Are you under the weather? And how are you feeling about this card?
Surprisingly not, but I think every person I know or do content with is sick either the end of last week or this week. So be careful out there. Yeah, I'm loving the pay-per-view. I'm trying to find a couple of dog spots to go in on, but definitely looking forward to 14 fights. It's quite a few for DFS, so be sure to check out the coach's notes and hit the like on this podcast. I heard, I don't know if it's true, but you just do better placement wise if you hit the like on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean it's totally true, and you should at least try it out.
Yeah,
try it out like a cake.
Try it out.
I don't know if you watch Your Mom's House, but that's
I was waiting for you to give out the address.
You know what? It's been a little bit. You know what? That is a great segue to the first fight of the night. We are going to start at the bottom of the card and work our way up. I'm going to make you guys work for it a little bit. And besides, these first couple fights of the night, they really do matter for DFS. They count just as much as the fights at the end of the night. Alessandro Costa, he is 8,200 on DraftKings, taking on Kevin Borjas at 8,000 over on DK. As you see here, we're going to pull up some Tapology as we're talking. Minus 140 is Costa. The comeback on Borjas is plus 115. As Monk pointed out before the show, Borjas, in every picture you see of him, looks like he's totally disinterested in everything, maybe even life. And I hadn't seen that, and now I don't think I'll be able to unsee it. So thanks for that. You are first. What do you got?
No problem there. What is a problem, though, is kind of how I'm going to be weighing this fight here. Borjas came in against Josh Van. I think that was on short notice, if I do recall. Dropped, five strikes a minute there. Didn't do much else, but he got hit with over 10 strikes a minute from Joshua Van. So not much striking defense there. Does come in with 8 of his 9 wins via KO TKO. Meanwhile, Costa is about to fight the guy that's fighting, just came off of fighting the guy who is fighting in the main event. There we go. Took 3 times. Has only looked great against Jimmy Flick, but in his defense, like I said, Steve Ursig and Amir Albazi. So top of the top, basically, in the flyweight division. So I'm not really sure what I am going to see out of this guy's. Costa only landed 1 takedown, 8% control time over 15 minutes. He landed almost 11 strikes a minute against Jimmy Flick in 6 minutes, but his other fights are very lackluster, 3.6 and 1.4. Just consider this a low-level flyweight fight and play it appropriately. I would say watch ownerships, and this is a not terrible fight to target as it is right in the heart of the mid-range there, 82 and 8,000. So I don't have much. I'm not going crazy over, but I'm also not going under the field probably either. I do favor Costa a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny you said that. That's kind of first fight of the night, and it's one of those I'm playing a little bit vanilla because I don't have a great read on it. Borjas, you mentioned the Van fight. That's what Van does to everybody. He got Borjas came out guns a-blazing, as he usually comes out because he's from the Peruvian regional scene. And short notice, you got a lot of times those guys come out quick anyway, try and put the fight away. And Van takes a little bit of damage, gets you tired, and then all of a sudden he throws 20 strikes a minute and just as like Max Holloway level volume all of a sudden. So I don't want to ding him too much, but you look back, it's the Peruvian regional scene. He looked okay. Costa, a little bit better opposition. I think he's a little bit cleaner of a striker. Not a huge inside the distance prop in this fight. I think it's a decent fight to target, but it's one I'm pretty, like I said in the open, I'm going to play pretty vanilla. I'm going to go a little bit over on Costa, a little bit under on Borges using the DFS Army ownership projections. Link down below to join DFS Army. More picks, plays, promo codes, cheat sheets, proptimizer, optimizer, all that good stuff. So make sure you check that out. I'm going to use that tool for this fight, and we got some other stronger stands I have later in the card. But for this one, I'm kind of relying on the tools, and I am siding with the favorite. That being said, let's go to the next fight, which this fight, by the way, is a reschedule. We already had this fight once before. It got canceled. Bonfim missed weight. And now we have Ismael Bonfim taking on Vince from Hell P. Shell, which if that is not at the top of Monk's nickname ratings, I can't.
Also at the top of my mustache rating as well. I mean, good Lord, this guy.
Gotta be. Looks Tapology. I don't know where Tapology pulls the odds from. So unless they don't have it, I'm just going to read from here. And just that's what I'm going off of, guys. I don't want to keep flipping tabs all over the place. -450 for Bonfim, +350 for Vince from Hell P. Shell. The top of this card for DFS is a bit of a mess in that we have four, like, I don't know where you want to draw the line. I'll say the top four dudes, 96, 95, 94, 9300. Michel Pereira, Caio Bahio, Vitor Petrino, Ismael Bonfim, all Brazilian big home favorites in Rio de Janeiro. I will say, though, of all of those fights, this is the one to target the least of. And it could burn you, but you have to make choices. For me, this is my least favorite of those four fights. I do think Bonfim wins. However, and it's a little concerning because Pichel, as you see, is 41 years old. The durability is going to start to wane. But anybody's going to not get a quick finish. I think Bonfim is going to strike with him, probably wear down Pichel. If he gets a finish and puts out a ton of volume, I could be in some trouble. But I don't think it's totally chalked because there's plenty of big scores out there on this card. He's the least likely to get, the 60-second bonus, the multiple knockdown, first-round type of win. I don't think he's going to shoot a ton of takedowns. Pichel's wrestling is his strong suit. I think Bonfim probably could have. Bonfim's better everywhere. If he wanted to take down Pichel at this point in his career, I think he probably could. I just think he chooses to strike with him and wins that way. It's not that I'm not confident Bonfim wins. It's that I have to make choices at the top of the DraftKings salary pool, and I'll probably have to be under to both guys. Monk, what are you thinking for our second fight of the evening?
Yeah, I probably agree. Remember a couple of weeks ago when Court McGee fought, I have no idea who, because I can't remember. And everybody's like, oh, Court McGee's dusted. And I was wondering if that was the case or not. I wasn't sure. And everybody kind of leaned on that. And turned out he went all three rounds and it was a relatively boring fight. I kind of see this one probably the same way. Vince Pichel never even been knocked down in his UFC career. I know he's 41 years old. Basically 41 and a half almost, if you're 11 and you still count your age by half. Vince Pichel, though, also been 2 years since he last fought, which is also
I am big 38 and mark. A half years old.
Yeah, 38. I'm 10 and a half this week. But yeah,
in months. What's that in months? That's how old I am.
Yeah, exactly. Still doing it like babies still. I'm like 486 months old. But yeah, I mean, I like the Bonfim brothers. They're exciting. You know, they get big wins over guys like Terrence McKinney. You know, Vince Pichel's not Terrence McKinney. He's not just going to sit there and throw and make mistakes like on that type of level. So I'm thinking decision. I think 9,300 is a bit too much here. Like you said, hopefully I'm not wrong, but that's just kind of how I see it. Winner scores, you know, 70 to 80 points. Vince is a tough son of a bitch, and I think he probably loses by decision.
Let's move on to the next fight. Oh boy.
Do we have to?
We do, and unfortunately, there's a reason behind it. Dione Barbosa taking on Ernesta Karakate is what I'm going to go with. From Lithuania, by the way, for people. I mean, it says it right here, but people look at the flag and go, what the fuck is that? She's from the same place Julia Stolyarenko is from, for whatever that's worth. Okay, somehow Dione Barbosa is -220 in a UFC MMA fight, taking on Ernesta Karakate at +180. DraftKings salaries for this one. Dione Barbosa is 8,900 and Karakate is 7,300. Monk, what stats do you have? I mean, help us dissect this clown show.
Yeah, this is a real clown show. I mean, I guess they both did well in their DWCS fight. Obviously, they both won. I'm just going to call her Carrot Cake. Did better because she was the plus 180 something. Carrot Cake. She was the plus 180 dog, so it looks better on paper. But she also gave up 5 points a minute in that fight. She gave up 4.77 points a minute at distance and over 5.1 inside the distance. Still ended up with a win and a good score, 114 points, but was giving up some decent points there. Dione didn't do much better. I mean, we're in the high threes, but I mean, it's still a shitload of points. This is a super low level women's MMA fight. Honestly, I have no clue. If you're in GPPs and you're looking for somebody to just like a punt play, I suppose Ernesta's probably okay.
The argument I'm about to make, it's exactly where I'm going.
Yeah, and that's about it. I don't know how you play unknown Dione Barbosa with 8 pro fights at 8,900 when you got where's my salaries, when you got guys around her like Oralby or, you know, Pantoja, $100 cheaper. You're gonna pay $100 more for Barbosa, and you're just gonna say Pantoja, not this week. I know you're in a 5-round fight, and you've been putting up like 140 points.
Keep going, Dracar Close is cheaper.
Brito, Ruffy. Like, dude, yeah, I'm not interested in the Barbosa, and that could come back and bite me because she could win in the first minute or the first round with a knock. Who knows? But with these two, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, come on.
That's the problem. You can argue game theory. No one's going to play Barbosa. I'm like, yeah, sure. It's a valid argument. GPPs, whatever. Cash games, do not go near Barbosa. This fight is minus 160. Yeah. The reason why I also shying away from that GPP play is this fight is minus 160 to go to decision. Neither one's very good. I've at least in her contender series fight saw Carrot Cake, as now I'm going to steal, throw a ball. She had like 186 strikes, you said. Like, there's just volume on volume on volume. I'll take that for 7,300. I think this is the best cash game punt on the card, quite honestly. Like, hands down. Actually, I think I might have just put my foot in my mouth. I have to check salaries real quick for the other one I'm thinking about. You know who it is. Yeah, you know what? Second best. And we'll get close there. Enough.
Yeah.
Second best. but honestly, you can double punt with both ladies, hint, hint, and then just pay up to all these studs you want to get to. And that's a build I'm going to play with. Just Barbosa at this salary, at those odds, and into the distance odds, just too many unknowns for me. I'll lean towards Carrot Cake and go from there. And hopefully, you know, she ends up in the right lineup. But yeah, overall,
it's a crapshoot.
Yeah. And overall, I'll be underweight to the fight. But if I'm going to be overweight, if I can see those ownership projections and Carrot Cake's at like 10%, I'm going to be over that. On this card and all the scrubs I don't want to play, even at 14 fights, I'll probably have room for 15% of her.
Yep.
Let's move on and talk about a more exciting fight. Mauricio One-Shot Ruffy. Great nickname, by the way. I like that one. Take it on. Good. Jamie, my chin is absolutely fucking toast now. Malarkey. And he's 20. I swear I thought Jamie Malarkey was 48 years old. But no, he's just 29. Ruffy is minus 165. Malarkey is plus 140. DraftKings salaries for this one. Ruffy's 8,400. Malarkey is 7,800. This fight is minus 275 to end inside the distance. And one of my favorite fights to target on the card. Ruffy has never seen the judges' scorecards. 9-1 in his career. All wins by finishes. Malarkey's probably more technical, but I don't trust that dude's chin to hold up for 3 rounds. And it's why you play both sides of this fight for GPPs. It's not a cash game fight. I'm picking Ruffy for the reason I just said. But if Ruffy wins, he knocks out Malarkey. Good score. And if Malarkey wins, he's cheap enough and probably wrestles Ruffy, but even an underdog winning is always live based on the context of the card. Pretty much always, unless it's like 8,000, maybe 7,900, even 7,800 and below. As soon as you have any win at 7,800 and below, I start getting real interested because you just the way these cards shake out. But if Malarkey wins, it's probably via wrestling. I'm not sure, but I am on the Ruffy side. Great GPP fight. Monk, what do the stats say?
Yeah, same thing here. Huff, is it, I'll call him Ruffy with you.
I could be saying that really wrong.
It's probably Huffy, I would imagine, but I have no idea. That's just, yeah, it's probably Hoofy.
Listen, I didn't know Geek wasn't doing the podcast till like an hour before. When I watched tape, I watched that shit on mute.
Right.
I looked up Kara Kate because I was scared of the Lithuanian flag. And honestly, the Portuguese names, even I do know, I'm going to fuck up. So let's just, whatever.
We'll just call him Maurizio. Only scored 76 points in that third round KO right before the bell, like 15 seconds left against someone named Raymond. Yeah, Malarkey, like you said, chin is completely dusted. 5 KO losses. Ruffy's, like you said as well, 9-1. All of them finishes, all of them KO-TKO finishes. And we're looking at Malarkey 1-2 in his last three, both losses coming via KO-TKO. And one was to Muhammad Naimov, in which he was a -405 favorite. That was Naimov's debut fight. But the other one was against Nasrat Haqparast in the first, 2 minutes. And Nasrat doesn't ever do that to anyone ever. So, yeah, I'm starting to wonder about
that. Was a bad look.
It was really bad. Really, really bad. And the Naimov one, he was kind of winning that fight until he got caught there and was just completely done. So, yeah, give me Ruffy. Huge GPP spot. And like you said, Malarkey, while I do think he is a bit too expensive, if he wins, he is he's in there. I mean, he did land 3 takedowns against Naimov, 3 against Prado. So he's landing takedowns against, debutant fighters that are generally, I guess in Prado's case at least, generally strikers. But, yeah, I like Ruffy overall for GPPs. I think he's got a good chance of KO and Malarkey here.
Huffy. Now I just want to say it wrong.
Oh, you got to hit the H.
Let's move on to, I think, the weirdest nickname in mixed martial arts. Joaquim Neto BJJ Silva. By the way, that's my announcer voice, which I think I should start doing just in honor of Charlie Arnold filling in for Joe Rodriguez.
I was wondering. I can hear his voice. I can hear his voice going out, and then all of a sudden she's up there. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, he was definitely said, came back for the main. Good job on him. Good job on Charlie. Good job all around. Came back
for half the main. I think she announced it, and then he announced the winner.
So I thought that was a good job all around.
Oh yeah.
Shit happens. And I mean, I'm not gonna say Charlie was great, but for short notice, that's hard. What she did is fucking hard. I know she didn't do all the crazy inflections in this and or even her own, Martinez doesn't do crazy inflections. He's got his own style, which some people really like.
Her his note cards and said, please do this for me.
Yeah. So I mean, big ups. I'd like to see her get another shot on the next time Gadziev headlines a fight night card. Give her that.
Yeah, one. There you go.
So anyway, Joaquim Neto BJJ Silva taking on Drakkar. Jeremy Stevens once pushed me so hard I didn't fight. No, that actually was really bad on Stevens and close on his side on that one, by the way. I know I just poke fun, but that was
right
a fucked up situation if you want to go look that up between him and Jeremy Stevens. Close the favorite, -190. Neto BJJ is +160. The salaries on this one, Drakkar close is 8,700. Neto BJJ is 7,500. I think this is the fifth fight. So, Monk, you're actually first for this one. What do you got?
I don't know that I really like this a ton for DFS here. Drakkar close, never a great score unless he's fighting like Brandon Jenkins or something like that. Somebody that's super low level. Which I would not consider Joaquim Silva super low level. Other than that, he's scoring less than 100 basically every time. 98 against Giagos and Selecki, 78 against guys like Garcia. Never really good scores and never really giving up a ton of points either. I think he's averaging, 87 points given up per loss, so nothing to write home about there. Meanwhile, Silva scores 83 when he loses. And gives up 103 or scores 83 when he wins, gives up 103 when he loses. So that is a lot of points, but that's just not Drakkar Close's style. Even if he's slam KOing you, he's still not scoring 100 points. So I'm not sure I really feel about this one for GPPs. I guess I like Close, but I don't know if I like him enough to roster him in cash. So I think this is probably a decision fight. Close gets the decision. And I don't see anything really standing out to me. Silva had, you know, 2-1 in his last five or in his last three, but against Jesse Ronson and Clay Guida, and then had a moment against Armin Sarukian, but was dominated the rest of the time. So, yeah, give me close, probably by decision.
You're close to the guy who throughout his UFC career, I continue to undervalue and get wrong, and he's better than I think he is. And I can admit that he just always shows up. I think he's really well-rounded. He can outstrike wrestlers and decent strikers. Like, he's good enough to, he's one of those guys that can take advantage of your weaknesses. You have to be good everywhere to beat Dracar Close. He's got a little more pop than I always think, a little more volume than I think. Just is a really solid all-around fighter. And I think that's going to, I actually think he's got multiple advantages here against Neto BJJ. I think he's the more technical striker. Neto will have the power, even though his nickname is Neto BJJ. He's not a grappler. I think Dracar Close can wrestle him if he chooses to. And for that reason, I think this is actually one of the sneakier fights to target in the mid-range, because people, at least from what I gather, you know, you have Huffy, who's cheaper. Pantoja's 100 more. And Joanderson Brito is 200. I think is 200 less. I think Dracar Close might go a little bit overlooked here. I'm looking to get a little bit overweight on Dracar Close if I can. It's one of those, let me see these ownership type of decisions. But I do like Dracar Close, I think, more than the average person for this fight.
I was going to say, you might have convinced me a little bit to throw some more, because I'm looking at Silva a little bit more. His last three losses, all KO losses. So not a good look for...
Yeah, he can get knocked out. I think Close can wrestle. There's just multiple paths to a decent score here.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk Jean Lord Sasson Silva taking on William Jaguar. That's awful. Jaguar.
Boring.
William Jaguar Gomez. Wake me up. Jean Silva is minus 140 in this fight. Gomez, the comeback, is plus 115. Silva's 8,600 on DraftKings. Gomez is 7,600. This is a fight that since I started, you know, removing these podcasts earlier, which I think is good. Hopefully you guys appreciate that. Like it. If you're not first, you're last type of thing. Hit the like button. But so I start on Saturday nights pretty much while I'm watching other fights. I use all the downtime and these fucking cards we have to tape and start getting my thoughts together for the next week. Works out pretty well. I think so in what, 4 days, I think I flip-flopped in this fight. Like, I was on Silva to start with. I'm like, no, you know what? I like Gomez for the upset. Now I'm back on Silva again. So that being said, I will be rostering William Gomez because I at least had the thought that he's going to win this fight. It's 50-50 to see a finish. So it's one you got to get some exposure to. I don't have, clearly because I'm back and forth, I don't have a great read. I think what... The reason why I flip-flopped is the more I see this fight on the feet, I think Gomez is live to stay long and be more technical and hurt Silva. And then I'm like, well, Silva's really live. He hits big himself. And if anybody's going to wrestle, it's going to be Jean Silva in this fight. If anybody's got the grappling advantage, I think it's going to be Silva. And that is kind of the tiebreaker here. So a really close fight that one, obviously, I think can go either way. I think if you're betting, the values on Gomez is the dog. And on DraftKings, because I think Silva's got more finish potential, that's where I would go for DraftKings. Monk, how about for you? You care to clear things up for people who just listen to me and go, I don't know who the fuck he just picked. What do I do?
Well, I think I'm leaning Silva, one of three fighting nerds on this card. We already talked about Huffy or Ruffy. This is another one, and John Silva looked good, but he was fighting Weston Wilson, probably one of the worst fighters on the entire roster, so... Not really sure what to say there. He did what he was supposed to do, scored a bunch of points, and looked good against a scrub. Meanwhile, William Gomez, I mean, this dude finished something named Giannis Gamori in his last fight, and he scored 69 points with a KO win, 69 points. Before that, he split decision with Fire Marshal Bill Francis Marshall, 41.91 point. I don't want any part of this guy. For DraftKings, like just DraftKings kryptonite, if there ever was one. He throws strikes at a relatively low volume. That's what William Gomez does. That is all that he does. He doesn't allow a ton of strikes. I mean, if Silva's going to score well, he's going to need to finish Gomez, and I just don't know if that's going to happen. William Gomez fights, like I said, DraftKings freaking kryptonite. So I'm not going to be completely fading him to zero, but it's going to be difficult for me to roster much of Gomez. And honestly, I'll probably be a little under on Silva just because Gomez fights suck, to be honest. I'm picking Silva, though.
For the right, I think I'm a little bit higher than you, but
yeah, it's enough. Oh, if you're knocking dudes out and scoring not even 70 points, I see ya. I don't want it.
Let's move on to Elvis. I should change my draft, my topology picture to me with the white hair stained in blood. Brenner,
yeah,
taking on Miktibek Orlobai. Well, I don't know if I said his first name right. Now I can just call him Orlobai the rest of the breakdown, which is nice. Orlobai is -260 is the favorite. Brenner, the dog, at +210. DraftKings salary for this one, I think, are very, very interesting. As we got Orlobai at 9,000, Brenner at 7,200. Monk, you're first for this one.
Yeah, I'm just going to say play this fight. Relatively low-ish level. But both guys, I mean, Brenner, let's start with Brenner. You can just like do whatever you want to this guy, and he still somehow wins a fight. He's in a freaking ROI machine. I don't know if I've ever seen anything quite like it, but yeah, +470, +400, just absolutely getting demolished, and then demolishing his odds value in a good way. Just ROI machine. I don't know what else to say about Brenner. Rattled off three in a row. Meanwhile, we've got Orlobai. Looked great against Euros Medic, what he's supposed to do, basically. He wrestle-fucked him, 7 takedowns, 80% control time, landed only 8 significant strikes, found the submission in 9 minutes, and scored 123 points. Now we get up at 9K. I think this is a very interesting fight to target. I like Brenner. I wouldn't even call him a punt play. I just like Brenner as a dog. I am picking Orlobai, but I think the winner has potential to score very, very well here.
Yeah, totally agree. I'm going to go further to pick Elvis Brenner in this one, but is one to target both sides of. The problem is Orlobai is a big favorite. He's still a relatively untested UFC prospect. At his debut, he leaned on his takedown game. I don't think is he going to do that against Elvis Brenner? Brenner's got pretty good takedown defense. We saw it against Tukhugov. Yep. One of the Govs.
It was Tukhugov and then Guram Kutatulade. So
got good takedown defense. And on the feet, Orlobai really doesn't impress me at this level. I think it's a level thing where I think this fight should just be closer based on level of competition and that Orlobai shouldn't be able to lean on the wrestling here. 50-50 to go to decision. Either way, with a live dog, I like this fight a bunch. I think there's three fights we haven't talked about. It's probably, you know what? It's middle of the pack. There are some other really good fights to target we haven't got to yet. I know we've said a lot of, this is okay. The good fights to target are coming, and they're not all the big salary fighters. There are some good mid-range fights to target. This is right in the middle of the pack for me now that I looked at my rankings. It's like 5 or 6. But I am on the Elvis Brenner side. I think he is an elite GPP play on this card. Now let's go to the best cash game punt on the card. What fucking year are we living in? Karolina Kovalkiewicz is on a 4-fight UFC winning streak at 38 years old and looking fine doing it. Meanwhile, you got Yasmin Lucindo, who is a baby, 22 years old, as the -350 favorite. The comeback on Karolina is +275. Somebody just made a dirty comeback joke in their head, and I just won't stand for that, even though I pointed it out again. 9,200 for Yasmin, 7,000 for KK on DraftKings. Look, Yasmin Lucindo is aggressive and will move forward. Karolina's a good striker. She's seen that before. Just don't get taken down. I don't think Yasmin's got a full enough complete game to do that. I actually think Karolina's going to get her fifth win here as a decent sized dog money here. And I get Yasmin she's younger. She's aggressive. Am I a little worried about KK's durability because you don't often see 115ers get knocked out cold like Jessica Andrade did to her. Like, it's not the typical knockout you see in this weight class. And Yasmin has big power. I can't trust Yasmin Lucindo at this price. I just cannot do it. So I like KK. I think she's be durable enough. She's a good striker, decent takedown defense, super cheap. I tell me what I'm missing here, Monk. I mean, maybe I'm overselling how live she is to win the fight, but I think regardless, even if you think Yasmin wins here, how is Carolina not an elite cash game play for DraftKings?
Exactly. I mean, maybe Yasmin, 22 years old, there's a 16-year age gap here. Maybe she comes out and you know, we've seen Carolina get backed up before, taking punches. Maybe she comes out here and finishes her early. I don't see it like that. I agree with you. This 4-fight streak that Carolina's on, and she is number one in my heart as well, is absolutely insane. Not really from a name value, but after the career she's had and the trajectory that she was on before that Felice Herrig fight, she has 100,000% turned it around. Two fights over, well over 100 points. She's landed 9 strikes a minute, 5 strikes a minute, 9 strikes a minute, and 9.5 strikes a minute in her last 5 fights. All of them, well, 3 of the 4 are decisions. The other one lasted 9 minutes. She is out here doing work, and we've seen it a bunch. Young fighters come in, all this hype, and in hype, the hype this week is in the form of DraftKings salary, as she is the 4th or 5th most expensive fighter in Yasmin Lucindo. They come out, all this hype, and they all of a sudden the punches aren't having the effect that they had before, and the opponent's taking them, and now all of a sudden the opponent's not getting tired, and I myself am getting tired, and then the tables just turn, and the veteran delivers the valuable vet lesson, and that's what I'm going for this week, rooting for Caroline to get it done. And at 7K, that is fucking disrespectful. She was 8,600 against Belbita, 85 against Demopoulos, 82 against Silvana Gomez-Juarez, and 79 against Felice Herrig. You're telling me now she's $900 cheaper than her cheapest salary I just laid out there for a 22-year-old? No, I'm not seeing that. And Lucindo's only beat Viana and Walker. Give me a break, man. Come on, Carolina. War Carolina. Let's go. 7K. I love it.
That was way more aggressive than I thought. So
let's go. Hey, that's what she does. She just stirs it up in me, man.
Moving on.
Is that okay?
So easy, though. So easy. Joe Anderson Brito. Oh my God. It's -165 favorite over Jack Shore at +140. DraftKings salary here. Brito is 8,500. Jack Shore is 7,700. Monk, plenty of stats for these guys. What does your statistical analysis you should be in the fight nerd camp as well. What does it
I
say?
Should. I need those glasses with the tape on it. Yeah, it says play Joe Anderson Brito, 130 points, 104, 108 against Pierce, who was only 86, but I don't for some reason have his salary here, but I don't think he was too expensive. And Pierce was kind of handling him until he decided to open his mouth and tell him to do something. And all of a, I guess Brito was like, oh, I can do something. And then immediately ninja choked him for the 86 points there. Jack Shore, I'm a huge fan. 4 of his last 5 he's won, taking the only L to Ricky Simone, in which he got subbed after being undefeated for I think 16 fights, something like that. Turned
That's
around
an important
against
one though. That's a really important one to look
oh,
at. Here.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Ricky, let's see, landed just 2 takedowns, controlled him for 50% of the 8.5 minutes that fight was taking place. I don't know, man. I'd be crazy to bet against Joe Anderson Brito at this point. The guy comes out like a maniac and is constantly getting finishes. And by constantly, I mean his last 4 in a row are all finishes. So, yeah, I'm going to be rostering the crap out of this fight. I like the Brito side a bit more. And at 8,500, that is just seems sweet as candy. But Jack Shore, on the other hand, super tough. Trains with his dad, also super tough guy, super tough camp over there. And don't believe when they say that they don't know what weight class it's on. This is at, because it's coming. I love those tweets every time. But yeah, play this fight. I'm siding with Brito, although I'm not very confident. Not touching this in cash, probably. But for GPPs, I'm loving this fight.
Yeah, this is a really good one to target. I'm also on the Brito side. Just the Simone getting to Jack Shore is important because Brito can do the same thing. Move forward, pressure, and he can wrestle too. Don't get it twisted. Brito can grapple. I think he can do that. And I think Jack Shore is good, but I think he's reached a level in the UFC where this is a problem now. Like, he was on the regional seed for a long time, got all win, did we supposed to do? It's, you know, the long winning streak, and then he's not looked the same. He's got, you know, let's take into Jack Shore here for just a hot second. Jack Shore scrolling down, and I like to pick on the Cage Warrior guys. You know, he beat Timur Valiyev, who's not in the UFC, Ludovic Chalinian, Hunter Azure, Aaron Phillips, Nolan Hernandez. Wow, this UFC is, that is one of the weakest five fight winning streaks in the UFC I have ever seen.
Whoa. It really is.
And then Makwan Amirkani.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Who's also no longer in the UFC.
So problems. I think Joe Anderson Brito is better than those guys, clearly. I think the pressure is going to be a severe problem. I do think when Jack Shore wins his fights, he's going to wrestle you. He's going to get takedowns. He's going to lay on you, do a little. He'll score decent. So it's one to target, because if Brito wins, probably because he smashes Shore's face into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Advice to Jack Shore, don't grab a leg lock. You'll yeah. end up unconscious.
Don't grab a single and just hold it.
Wasn't that Weston Wilson too? Didn't we just reference Weston Wilson for the second time in this podcast? That's great. Shout out Weston Wilson. So yeah, I'm on the Brito
side. Fight book.
Yeah. I'm on the Wilson side, the Brito side as well. Not on the Wilson side.
I was gonna say, Jesus, I would never be on the Wilson side.
But let's move on and talk about another one of the fighting nerds against another fighter from the UK. Scotland, Wales. See what I did there?
Interesting.
Paul Bearjew Craig taking on Kyo the Natural Bohio. Those glasses and that neck tattoo fucking freak me out. Like,
I don't know what to think, but
if you look up oxymoron in the dictionary, it's a picture of ice on fire, and then right next to it is Kyo Bohio. Like,
is he handsome? Is he not? I don't know what to think.
He looks just like that in the picture in the dictionary, but he's also wearing a sweater vest, but he's also fucking your mom.
He's like also wearing jean shorts. Yeah.
that's what's happening. For this fight, he is the big favorite, minus 450. Paul Craig is plus 340. DraftKings salary, you got to go towards the top, obviously. Bahio's second most expensive fighter on the card at 9,500. Paul Craig is 6,700. And I'm picking Kyo Bahio. But we got to get there still. Of those top four I mentioned, this is now my third favorite fight to target in the bunch. The other two are better. Really, it's because Bahio, while he's looked decent in the UFC, he's plenty of decisions on his resume. Plenty. Like, I can just go here. Decision win over Gadzi Omergadziev. Decision over Armin Petrosian. Decision over Mahmoud Muradov. Did he get a finish over Mikhail Oleksyshuk, who can't stop a submission against anybody, though? Mm-hmm. And a decision against Abus Magomedov. Good win, especially Abus. Paul Craig's fighting style also is, you know, with the way he goes to his back and it's awkward on the feet. I just feel like it's death to DraftKings scoring. I'll be interested to see what Monk says when he gets there. I know there's been big scores in his history before, but it's like Roundtree knocking him out early, or the quick submissions he gets against, like, Jamal Hill.
Yeah.
So stuff like that, just the way Bahio fights, there's plenty of room for a finish here, Bahio takes his fight to the ground. Paul Craig is dangerous as fuck off his back, and that's where he constantly wants to be. Paul Craig is sneaky live in this fight. He just everyone. So I know we talked a little bit earlier. So you're and not an uncommon opinion. Ihor Poteria is like a live underdog, is the cheapest one on the card. You can kind of mix him. He just, you know, the salary's wrong. He's live. I think those things about Paul Craig and not so much on Poteria. I'm like down on Ihor and up on Paul Craig. Like, if that punt Hail Mary play, Paul Craig is the one I'm looking at here, just because. Let's see where you're at, Bahio. Like, the quality of competition keeps going off, and people like to hate on Paul Craig, just like they hate on another guy we're going to talk about later that I'm going to really make people crazy with. Same thing. Paul Craig has still been in the top five, top 10 of these divisions for a long time. He's not a scrub. He's just not. If you make a mistake, he will take your arm home. He will triangle you. Bahio should win this fight, and I'm going to play enough of him where he's not going to destroy me. But he's not the top option for cash games. and Craig is live.
Yeah, this salary is kind of wild.
That too. It's rough.
9,500. So if he's not getting a finish, which he only did, as Sniper just said, against Oleg Jacek, who gets finished when he loses, he's averaging 75 points per win. 68, 75, 80, and 77. Not good. Not good at all. Meanwhile, Paul Craig, did put up a decent score against Muniz, his first fight at middleweight. But other than that, we're not really blowing any doors off. We're in the mid to high 90s in points given up per loss and points scored per win. So nothing special. Bahio, though, like I said, is in the towards the bottom of the offensive scoring category. I think Craig has obviously the fifth shooting of takedown 50% and then rolling backwards onto your back is not a good game plan, but that's what he does against guys that obviously don't want to go to the ground and guys that would label themselves as strikers or that we would label as such. Bahio is not afraid to go to the ground. In fact, that's where he prefers to be, obviously. And so therefore Craig's path to victory, which is a submission and Bahio making a mistake, just got a little bit wider because Bahio is going to naturally give him more chances to do that. Whether he will do that is another question, but Paul Craig definitely has more chances. I agree with you. I like him more than Pateria here for sure. And I'm willing to take a nice GPP punt on the $6,700 fighter. I don't know about punting in cash. I probably won't need
Just play Carolina and carrot cake.
Exactly. I won't need to go that low in cash, so I'm not even going to be thinking about any of these 6,000 guys. But yeah, Bahio, 9,500 GPPs is a bit too high for me. Personally, even if it is against a guy that can be finished, I think this is more of a backpack situation. If someone's going to dominate this fight, this is going to be a backpack situation, and we're going to see a decision, and the winner's going to score 75.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the most expensive fighter on the card, Michel Demolidor. I can't say it. Fuck that guy, Pejeda.
Apparently, that means daredevil, like the comic. Well,
flipping off the fucking cage like a lunatic. It makes sense. He's minus 420. The comeback on Ihor Porteria is plus 320. Salaries that I alluded to. Pejeda is 9,600, most expensive fighter on the card. Porteria is 6,600. Look, Porteria's taking this on short notice. Pejeda, since he stopped doing all his crazy shit, continues to look more and more fucking dangerous and like a problem. He was kind of a meme. And all of a sudden, this dude is scary. You know, wins over Nico Price, Andre Fialho, Ponzinibbio was a fun fight. Andre Petroski dominated Mikhail Oleksiychuk, win, but 6 weeks ago. Porteria, look, the fight that he was supposed to have against, who pulled out? Help me out.
I can't remember. You're going to have to scroll down.
I'm going to have to go back here. Oh, this is going to drive me crazy.
I can't remember.
I have to. Now it's a weird pause on the show, and I'm all fucked up. And if I don't think of it, it's going to bother me. Let's scroll down. Mahmoud Muradov. God damn it. That's right. That would have been a much more interesting fight. Porteria kind of falls in the same realm of the guys that he's finishing. And Porteria is going to play into him. I mean, he looked a little more patient his last time out. That was the Robert Brzezinski fight. Pereira hits too hard. I think Ihor's going to get dragged into something silly. Just give me Michel Pereira. He's the cash game guy. He's my favorite of all the payoffs. And he's super expensive. He's going to be a problem to fit in. But I'm going to find a way. Monk, how about for you?
Yeah, I think he probably finishes here. Usually Pereira is not scoring well ever. Not ever, but especially since he's toned down his fighting style. That said, in his last two fights, he's just missed the quick win bonus, put up 102 and 94. How can you really score many more points than that in 1 minute if you're not getting the bonus there? So I do like what we've seen. Like you said, much more aggressive while being more technical, which is just what we wanted to see, a fine mix of both. Pateria looked okay against Brzezinski, but Brzezinski was a newbie, and he completely freaking gassed, I believe, in the second round there. It's Pateria for me. I'm 9,600. I don't generally like to pay up, especially with a guy that is averaging like 80 some points per win. 86 to be exact, but Pateria's given up 111 when he loses. And I think Sniper's right. Just pay up for him in cash. That's where I'm going to be playing him, is in cash. And I'm just hoping for the best. He's way more technically sound. Pateria is going to crumble.
Yep. Totally agree with you there. Now let's get some fucking hate going.
Yeah, let's do it.
Vitor Petrino. He's the favorite. -485, taking on Anthony Lionheart-Smith, or if you prefer, Bogdan Guskov 1.0, which, by the way, missed a ton of shit last week. Nailed that one.
Yep.
So that was good. That was a small victory there. Mm-hmm. That is the line on this fight. Odds, Petrino 9,400. Anthony Smith 6,800. Everyone's talking about how much Vitor Petrino do you play? Monk, how much Vitor Petrino do you play?
Not as much as they're going to play, Sniper. I tell you that much. Not as, or just probably about as much as you're going to play from what we were talking about before the show. I'm an Anthony Smith homer. He's from my hometown. I'm always going to root for the guy. Vitor Petrino's looked decent against the Pleasure Man. I'll always root for whoever's fighting the Pleasure Man. Scored 116 there, 103, 93. So his points are going down. Then he decisions Tyson Pedro in one fight away from Pedro's retirement fight, scores 66 points in a nothing fight. So I don't know if he's not running through Tyson Pedro after Pedro's basically done. I don't know. Is he just going to run through Anthony Smith? I'm having a hard time basically figuring out how Petrino's going to pay off this $9,400 salary. Obviously he's going to have to wrestle, but even when he did land three takedowns, he landed three takedowns against Pedro, 36%. So controlled him for a whole round and still scored 66 points. How does that math even work out? So yeah, give me Smith. I think he's the way better DraftKings option or in GPPs. And yeah, he should get beat here, but you know, he's up here talking, he's getting shit on, 'cause he's talking about he wants to fight Alex Panetta, and that's fine. All that. But that's why I think people are shitting on him, just because of what he's saying. That has nothing to do with how he's fighting. Yeah, he's looked trash in his losses, but Vitor Petrino's not Khalil Roundtree. He's not Magomed Ankalaev. He's not even Johnny Walker. So, yeah, I'll take a chance on Smith here.
So, I'm going to amend a little bit. I'm going to backtrack a little bit. This is a great fight to target.
I went all out on the flank.
No, but
now you're backtracking.
I'm going to backtrack. I want more Smith than the average bear, but because this fight is such a great one to target at -260 to end inside the distance.
Yeah.
If people play 55% Petrino, I'll probably be around there. I'll probably be field weight to Petrino. He's not going to be a core play where I'm going 75-80%. Like, I'm going to try and it's also, I don't really know, because I probably want 60-ish% of Michel Pereira.
Any lineup with, you can't get to Pereira at that point.
It gets real tough as you're building lineups. So for exactly what you said, though, people like to shit on Anthony Smith, just like Paul Craig. He's been at the top of these divisions for a long time. He's my light heavyweight champion. He's just, he didn't want to, the crown would have laid too heavy.
Exactly.
Just put it like, we would have forgiven you because it would have shut, it would have got rid of John Jones.
Right.
Like we would have forgiven you.
This would not have been an Aljo situation.
So, it's a Long Island guy. You know how I feel about that. And he smoked you on the second time. So
I loved it. Love to see it.
Look, Anthony Smith, the takedown defense is a little questionable. That's where Petrino's going to, should take advantage. But, you know, we've seen Anthony Smith, who's tough as fucking nails. If he can keep it on the feet, he's going to land plenty. Like, if you drag Petrino into one of these wars, Petrino's got a surprisingly good gas tank, but it's because all the fights have kind of been on his terms. The second a fight isn't on his terms, what is that big, muscly gas tank going to look like? This could be the fight where he finally starts to slow down. I'm going to pick Vitor Petrino, and it's a great fight to target, like I said. I would just recommend, if there's any takeaway from this fight for me that I think is different than the crowd, bump up your Anthony Lionheart Smith exposure just a little bit. I think he's getting shit on just a little bit too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go to the co-main event of the evening. Jonathan Martinez. He's the favorite. He's -135 against Jose the King of Rio. Fuck Junior. Jose the King of Rio Aldo, who's plus 110. Line the DraftKings salary on this fight, 8,300 for Martinez. Aldo is 7,900. This is probably the fight I'm most interested in, quite honestly. Even more than the title fight, I want to see this fight. Jonathan Martinez is a fantastic leg kicker. He's got the leg kick knockouts. Jose Aldo, back in the day, did that to people. That's what Jose Aldo did. So is Jose Aldo going to have an answer to those? He's thrown them less and less throughout his career. Also, you've got Jose Aldo. Basically, honestly, let's be honest, he's a boxer at this point in his career. He's back in retirement. This is, I believe, the last fight. He's finishing up his UFC contract. Great. No knock on him. Is he really invested? Definitely a step slower probably at this point, but he's still really good. I should be an all-striking affair. Super excited about it. You know what I really like about it more is that for DraftKings, I don't have to think about it too much because we got a fight that is all striking, probably isn't going to see a finish, probably not going to have anybody on the optimal. I'm going to be probably a little bit, probably a field weight to, it's minus 260 to go to decision. I'll be field weight or under on both guys and just sit back and enjoy and hope something crazy happens. I'll have a few shares, but it's one I can just enjoy. How about for you, Monk?
Yeah, I completely agree here. For DraftKings, GPPs, cash, I'm not looking forward to this one at all. I'll be, wanting to see Aldo win. I think Martinez is probably going to win a decision, but I think you nailed it here. I mean, I don't expect anything but just, a striking battle for 15 minutes and a relatively low-ish volume striking battle, 3 to 4 strikes a minute from each side. Those fights, I'm expecting the winner to win by decision, score 75 to 80 points. And like you said, I am going to enjoy this one. Likely won't see Aldo back in the UFC cage, I would imagine. So we're also not backing retirement fighters is one of my rules here. So I don't even have to worry about the comebacks from that. So yeah, Martinez is the pick, just barely rooting for Aldo, fading in all tournaments.
It's main event time, boys and girls. Hit the like button. Alexandre Pantoja taking on Steve Astro Boy Ursig, who has got how many UFC fights again? Oh, yeah, 3. That's right. I haven't heard that anywhere. 3 UFC fights fighting for a title. Let's do the odds. Pantoja's minus 250. Astro Boy's plus 200. DraftKings, we're looking at Pantoja, 8,800. Comeback on Ursig, 7,400. You've also heard this a bunch, but it's worth noting because I just, you see the Pantoja, his buildups. I want to give somebody a Rocky-like shot. And I know people have said this, but it's just stuck in my head. Did you watch Rocky? Like, you know what happened, right?
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Yeah.
That's not the comparison I'd be making as the champion. That's what you say if you're Steve Ursig. But okay, sure. Ursig is getting a lot of love that I've seen. He's live. And don't get me wrong. He is live because Pantoja barrels forward, is willing to be hit and get into a war. Sure. Pantoja's still better. And I think that's being a little bit lost. Pantoja is the better grappler, the better striker. It's just his ability to get into a war and they get, I almost said 8-ounce gloves. That's not right.
Soon to be 3-ounce gloves. Well, are they really going between, from 4 to 3? They changed. It's going to be like between 2-something and 3-something.
Oh, nice.
Depending on the weight class.
At that point, just give them 1-ounce gloves. Whatever.
Well, it depends. It's the amount of padding in it that changes the...
Yeah, but based on weight class? So are they giving the bigger guys...
Basically hand size, basically. Oh, hand size. Weight okay. class. But all right. Yeah, yeah.
Fine. So you want to be heavyweight with really dainty hands so there's no padding.
You didn't watch the 40-minute glove breakdown like I did?
No, I did not. I mean, maybe well, pop some headphones.
Now you don't have to.
Next time my wife's talking to me about something I don't want to hear. Just look. So Pantoja's just better. You could stack it up in cash, sure. I'm not sure I'm going to go there because everyone's going to play Ursig. Like, I'm not... This is the part of cash I'm undecided with, is do I just stack it up as a blocker or do I go double? And I'm going to see what my other options are. Or do I do the double super punt, the lady punt, and get more favorites I like? Undecided. I think those are the two cash game strategies. R6 getting too much love for me in GPPs. I'll probably back off a little bit because I think it's going to be silly ownership, like 35%, which just that don't feel right to me. So I'll be a little under that. Pantoja's, I think, five rounds is active, a guy I'll have to be overweight on. So that's my, and I, so clearly for me, the pick is Pantoja. Monk, how about for you?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think Pantoja, like you said, is just going to remind people, you know, there's a big size difference here. 4 inches in height, a couple inches in reach, and a few years in age. But yeah, I mean, Pantoja's looked fantastic. Aside from making a couple of mistakes in the grappling via Royval and Moreno, I think, which he talked about. And I think it was the Royval fight in which he said he was, it was must have been one of the times Royval was on his back. He said he was extremely exhausted and was close to being the end of the fight. But either way, he battled back from whatever adversity he was going through. And he's put up 143 points in each of his past 2 5-round decisions, guys. So, yeah, I'm leaning Pantoja. Hopefully, decision. This is probably the 5-round flyweight fight that I was hoping to get last week. Luckily for me, I did not end up stacking the main in my main cash lineup, and I ended up going with just Perez. But this time, I mean, the stack is, I suppose, a cash option. Because I don't know what Steve Ercig is going to look like if Pantoja makes a couple mistakes. Maybe he can score a ton of points in this 5-round decision. But yeah, I'm not going to overthink this one. I'm leaning Pantoja. I love him for cash, probably for GPPs too. And $8,800 is not too expensive for me to pay out. So yeah, give me Pantoja decision. Hopefully we see a score somewhat close to the two he's put up 140 apiece basically in his last two.
That's it, guys. That's all 14 fights, but we got to do kill shots. If you don't know what a kill shot is, under-owned fighter, so not the main event, usually the underdog, somebody unexpected to put in your lineups who can help you win a GPP. Trying to avoid the chalk, find a big winner. Monk, you got one locked and loaded for us?
I do, but I'm not going to take yours. Everyone knows who I want to say, but I'm not going to take it because I'm going to let you have it.
No. You can do it because I didn't pick him straight up.
Okay. Well, her. Yeah. No. Yeah.
All right. That was the other one. I got another one locked and loaded. I actually got one I like a little better.
Well, I think I like that one too, if I know who you're talking about, but I'm going with my girl, Karolina Kovalkiewicz here at 7K. I mean, way underpriced against a person who is way inexperienced. It could go wrong for me, but hey, what do you expect with a 7K fighter? I'm taking my chances. I'm backing my girl here. Let's go, Karolina, 5 in a row.
So being in Brazil, I have to be able to chant one more time. Ooh, vai, Madeira. Ooh, vai, Madeira. Elvis Brenner's going to finish the prospect. Yes. I like Elvis Brenner to get a bounce back here at 7,200 underdog price. I don't quite get, and just there could be some points in this one. So that is my kill shot for UFC 301. Guys, Domination Station Optimizer, more notes from me, Monk, two other coaches, full breakdowns, Discord that is hilarious and sometimes a little disturbing. You guys could go check that out. Shout out to everybody in Discord who is watching that, who makes things fun. Tons of other DFS sports going, Prize Picks, all the good stuff. Make sure you check it out at those links down below. Monk, you got anything else before we get the fuck out of here?
No, not much. Looking forward to this card. Do got a new show. Check it out. Bankroll or Bust. It's the world's first MMA betting game show. Sniper, I'll be reaching out to you. So check your DMs in a couple of weeks, reaching out to you to come on, but be sure to check that out.
I have a game show addiction. In all seriousness, I have a game show addiction. Aside from currently watching all the reality shows on TV, it's my guilty pleasure. Like I've been watching Survivor since season one, so you can't.
Oh, nice.
Although I'm pretty much out on it now. The casting's bad, but I watch Big Brother and The Challenge are all like my go-to staples. And when I was a kid, I would watch The Price is Right and Press Your Luck and Chuck Woolery, I'll Be Back in 2 and 2. So you, game show around MMA and betting. Just tell me when and I'll be there.
Nice. Well, I'm looking forward to that. We might have to get you on for the next pay-per-view, maybe 302. But yeah, other than that, not doing much. Just looking forward to this card. Guys, hit the like on the video and check out DFSArmy.com, baby. Win some money. Let's go. What are you doing?
Hey, if you're not in there, you are missing out. Did 14 fights in under an hour. Monk, good luck this weekend. I will see you for the next card. Guys, my usual sign up that I do for the prize picks videos, I'm going to do it here. Whether or not you are a DFS Army member, you fucking probably should be. But either way, I appreciate you. Good luck. Cash those tickets or lineups, and I'll see you next time.